I'm going to invite the Haiti mission team to come on up. We had a great group head out to Haiti representing our congregation. And I want to be praying for Carol Blair. She is in the hospital, and so she is not able to be with us, and I don't see Don either. But anyhow, be lifting them up as she has been struggling with illness pretty much since we got back, from what I understand. But I'm going to turn things over for a time of testimony. Such an important ministry, and we want to make sure that all of you get a taste of what we can do all together, all of us, through them, and an opportunity for you to consider going next year.
I just got to pull up what I wrote. Hold on. So good morning, everyone. How are you? So 2 weeks ago, we just got back from our fifth trip to Haiti. It's just been such like an honor and pleasure to be able to go on this trip every year. Haiti is just like a really special place to me. It's where I feel God working the most in my life. We hope that today our presentation opens your hearts and about all that happens during our trip, and that we are able to all praise the Lord together with all he has done. During the week there were many tears and emotions, but more importantly, there were lots of smiles. Being able to see how much God has moved in Haiti has been truly amazing and a blessing. So one of my favorite missionaries wrote, "He can make baskets of bread out of the tiny loaves we give him. He can make a life of glory out of our weak need, timid yes." This year, we had 15 people say yes to God in coming with us. So I'd like to introduce them all. We have Sharon and Doug, Mark and Charlotte, Tom, Pam, Nicole, Vicky, myself, Carol, Don, Hector and Lydia, and Craig and Alan, who was here during our skit. So it was really nice. Last year we prayed that our team would grow, and we were blessed with 5 new people getting to experience what God is doing in Haiti. All because each of these people gave a timid yes. We pray that our testimony impacts your lives, and maybe next year a few more of you will join us. To start us off, Lydia's going to say a few words.
I'd like to start off our time of testimonies by reading from Psalm 68. God will arise, his enemies will be scattered. His foes shall flee before him. Disperse them as smoke is dispersed, as wax melts at fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall rejoice, they shall exult in the presence of God. They shall be exceedingly joyful. Sing to God, chant hymns to his name, extol him who rides the clouds, the Lord is his name. Exult in his presence, the father of orphans, the champion of widows, this is God in his holy habitation. God restores the lonely to their homes. He sets free the imprisoned, safe and sound, while the rebellious must live in a parched land. O God, when you went at the head of your army, when you marched through the desert, the earth trembled. The sky rained because of God, the God of Israel. You released a bountiful rain, O God. When your own land languished, you sustained it. Your tribe dwells there, O God. In your goodness, you provide for the needy. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, chant hymns to the Lord, to him who rides the ancient highest heavens, who thunders forth his mighty voice. Ascribe might to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose might is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your holy places. It is the God of Israel who gives might and power to the people. Blessed is God. Prior to traveling to Haiti, we received a packet from Aslan Youth that was designed to kind of open us up and get us prepared for entering the Haitian culture. And in that packet were these words. Haiti means mountainous land. A Haitian proverb says, after a mountain, another mountain. Each day a person wakes up realizing that he will climb with all his might, all day long and into the night, to reach the top of the mountain in front of him. And tomorrow, the next day, and every day of his life. Each day of our week in Haiti, we jumped into the covered back of a truck and made the journey from the mission house to the mission's own land, where we did our service projects and Bible school. Along the way, we hit our own mountain of sorts, an extremely deep and wide ditch in the road that jostled us to and fro, even as we clutched tightly to the bars of the truck and clutched to each other as well. The descent into and the climb out of the ditch was so intense, and it took so much time that some of the members of our group suggested that the depth of this ditch might very well be equal to the height of some of our team members. As I think about this ditch, which made such a lasting impression on me, given its power to so drastically change my perspective on American potholes, and as I think about that Haitian proverb, I can't help but be reminded that the depth of that ditch is nowhere near the height of the Haitian mountains, nor did our daily struggle to climb in and out of that ditch compare to the daily struggles of the Haitians to obtain what comes so easily to us Americans, things like food, electricity, and hot showers. But this mountain proverb brings to mind another image. One day, a few of our group members decided to take a hike down to the Massacre River that separates Haiti from the Dominican Republic. As we left the mission facilities and the tall trees behind us, a wilderness of tall grasses opened up to a breathtaking view of the Haitian mountains, from which descended the babbling river lined by plush green reeds growing out of deep red clay. I stood there by the river, a cool breeze washing over me, just fixated on those majestic mountains, entranced and in awe. Just when I had gotten used to thinking of Haiti as some dusty ditch, some big pit of smelly garbage, a never-ending climb for its weak and weary inhabitants, a place where the only God to be found is a suffering servant, a weeping, bleeding, wounded God who hobbles along with his people through the valley of the shadow of death. Just when I had gotten used to that God, there was this. As I looked up at those mountains, and as I think back on them now in light of Psalm 68, I know that there is a great and powerful, a strong and mighty God who dwells on the peaks of those mountains, just as he dwelt on the mountains of Sinai and Zion. He has already conquered every mountain, every obstacle that wars against the Haitians. And from the peaks of those mountains, he reaches out his hand of power, grasping the hands of his children, just as so many of those children grasped our hands when we were there that week. He grasps their hands, and he pulls them up into his arms of life. I thank God for the power and the strength he gave each of us on our trip, and for using us to be vessels of that strength and power in the lives of the Haitians. I pray that we would never lose sight of the God who has already fought and won the victory. For with this God in our perspective, we can grasp the courage and the confidence to go forward and fight with him in building his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, assured that in his great strength, our efforts to do so will not be in vain.
Thank you, Lydia. Just to report on some of the things we did, physical things down there in Haiti. We updated their water system. A year ago, we helped put a cistern on top of the building so that the local families could get water in the community. keep in mind that these people live in houses that have no electricity, no running water, no well, no outhouses. They're just hovels, and they live back in the woods and the jungle. And they come out to get just the basic need of a drink of water, water to wash themselves, water to keep their families clean. They have to hike with a 5-gallon bucket or a 3-gallon bucket, whatever they get. And they have to go somewhere where that water is provided. And the Aslan community has come up with that last year, and it was such a success, and so many people were demanding the water that they were running out of water every day. And the pump only works when the generator is operating during the day. So this year we put another 600 gallons of water that or 500 gallons. So there's 1,000 gallons of water a day that's picked up in 5-gallon buckets. And children your size carry those 5-gallon buckets to a mile and a half to their homes so their family can have water. So that's one of the projects we did, and we really, really felt the need and the desire to do that. We automated some of the float switch that goes up and down so that a person doesn't have to turn the pump on, turn the pump off. The way they do is they plug it in, they run out of water, then they'd plug it in, and it would overflow, and they knew it was full when it was running off the top of the building and onto everyone and making mud puddles. So we were able to take a switch and automate that for them. So that's one of the water projects we did, and it was something that God sent us to do. And next.
Good morning. For those of you that are curious, my shirt is resting at home recovering from the ordeal, which is code for I forgot it. So there you'll see the three. They have three 40-foot shipping containers that they have put together for a clinic, so you can walk from one to the other. And Don Blair, Hector, myself, Corey, and Bose, one of the local Haitians, worked on a ceiling. If you can see to the right of Don over here on the left, you'll see a seam where we thought there had been leaking. So we took some rolled roofing strip patch, and we replaced that whole seam, or at least put it over top, and then we used roofing patch to clean up that seam and make sure that no water could penetrate. We also, if you can imagine these shipping containers, they're certainly not new. They're all dinged up. They're banged up all over the place. So all along the roof, wherever there was a dent, water would pocket, and then eventually start to rust, and then, you know, that's not going to end up well. So we took wire brushes, and we cleaned out all those holes, and we patched them with the same material to the best of our ability. Now, it didn't rain after we completed that, so we're not 100% sure how watertight it was, but there was really only one known leak, but we went and took preventive action. And Joseph, our main Haitian on the ground, once we were pretty much done, he came up there, and he said that we had missed the main culprit. So Don was quick to get after that one, and hopefully it'll be dry in there going forward. The next project that we did, Corey, was the spigots. So here you'll see the area where the cistern provides the gravity-fed water pressure, where the villagers can come and get their water as needed. When St. Paul's first put these three spigots in, they used faucets, spigots that Joseph said the Haitians would definitely break, and he was right. They broke them. So when we got there, they were all, pretty much inoperable. They had them all wedged up with rocks and whatnot. So we got three new spigots. Hector and I worked on this, and with some help from Doug, and we were able to replace those spigots. One of them gave us a little trouble, but we ended up having to replace that again, but we got them working. So their water is now working. The spigots can be on and off. Obviously, you can imagine when water is so precious, you don't want a drip or a leak. So we were pretty careful, and it seemed like it worked well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Britton, and this was my first trip to Haiti. While we were in Haiti, we painted the trim around the clinic, and it really seemed to brighten the clinic up. A lot of people in the community seem to go to the clinic for services, and that was an honor to be able to work in an area where so many lives are being impacted daily. During our trip to Haiti, I found it was very humbling. I also realized that I take so much for granted. I'm trying to change that, to appreciate more of the small things that make my life so much easier, like electricity, running water, etc. Thank you for allowing me to represent St. Paul's in doing this. I also have a little reading from Alan because she wasn't able to stay. So now this is Alan speaking. I'm so thankful that I was able to travel to Haiti and to serve the St. Paul's team last month. As a nurse, the medical clinic holds a special place in my heart. And with the help of this team, we were able to install laboratory equipment that will help to improve the health of the people. The first time I went to Lac Cajun, I was struck by the modern clinic sitting on a plot of land in an impoverished village, the likes of which I have never seen, nor even imagined. I was moved by the competence of the clinic staff and their amazing ability to care for the people, even when they didn't have all of the necessary supplies to do so. Nobody in need is turned away. It became a personal mission of mine to help these wonderful people in any way I could. In America, it is common for us to have our blood work drawn and analyzed at a hospital or facility such as LabCorp, especially if we're experiencing an illness or medical issue. Then our doctors can read our results and help us. In Haiti, this is not common. At the clinic, the only way for blood to be analyzed is for the lab tech to look at the blood under a microscope and manually count the blood cells. This is tedious and most likely inaccurate. After seeing their need, we were able to raise money for a centrifuge and one of the blood analyzers that counts red and white cells, hemoglobin and platelets. Thanks for the strategic packing and muscles of the men, the machines arrived in Lac Cajun in working order. As I mentioned, the clinic staff is highly trained and they were using the equipment within days. Praise God. If anybody would like more information about the clinic or its pressing needs, feel free to reach out to me. Carol and Sharon have my contact information. God bless, Alan McCarthy. Thank you.
So, Hector and I are going to be sharing a little bit about the VBS that we did for the kids. We were there on the land for 4 days, every afternoon for several hours. We were running this vacation Bible school, and I just want to give a shout out really to Sharon, who did so much planning months in advance for this vacation Bible school that we put on. And not just for Sharon, but really for so many members of our trip. There was so much that went into this 1 week mission trip that it was really felt more like a multi-month mission trip. And it was funny because when they were going full steam ahead, planning the breakfast and packing the duffels and weighing the duffels and doing everything that needed to be done, I just remember thinking in my head, this is crazy. Like, these people are crazy. And I really couldn't understand what was driving them. But I came to the conclusion on the trip that it was God. It was God that was moving them. And I just want to encourage you that, like Corey said before, if you have any interest in going to Haiti, know that when you get there, when you are involved with this team, you will feel God pulling you and pushing you in a way that you never have, and I certainly felt it. So for 2 days, or for 4 days, we put on this vacation Bible school. We spent 2 days with the girls, and then 2 days with the boys, and it was kind of shocking to me that, hours before we were starting the VBS, we would see the kids start to show up. And just waiting patiently. And it reminded me, for us in this culture, sometimes church is just something we plug in when we don't have anything else going on. And for these children, this was the highlight of their day, probably the highlight of their week, and they just couldn't wait to get onto that land and to listen to what we had to say and participate in our activities with us. So we had some singing to start off our VBS. On the first day, we put on a skit about Adam and Eve, very important story in the Bible. And that was really exciting, probably more exciting for us than the kids, even though they were very captivated while we were performing for them. We also had a craft. We had a snack that was themed to the story. We had a time of just running around with the parachute, and then I was personally involved with playing soccer with the kids, with Hector and one of our Haitian guys, Bose. And I just wanted to share a story from that experience. One thing that I was really insecure about, which were, there were many things being a first timer this year on this trip, but one thing I was really insecure about was just not knowing very much Creole, which is the language they speak there in Haiti. Craig had given us this packet with, you know, several phrases to learn, but I just kind of shoved it to the side and said, I'm never going to learn what I need to learn, so I might as well not even bother with it. And so, you know, when, of course, you know, throughout the week, you know, we would hear a lot of Creole, and I was trying very hard to pick it up, didn't feel very successful, but one day on the soccer field, a little boy, he fell down and he started crying, and I immediately freaked out because I didn't know how I was going to be able to communicate with him. I didn't know what to say to ask him what was wrong or to try to lead him to what he needed to get to. And I went over to this kid anyway, and by God's grace, God just reminded me that the word for hand in Creole is man somehow. You know, I was able to remember that. And so I just reached out my hand to this kid and I said, Mon. And he reached out and grabbed my hand and stood up, and the tears just instantly just faded away. And it really reminded me that, you know, sometimes we can be going through difficult times in our lives. But all we really need is to know that we're in God's hands during those times. And despite the circumstance, we can have comfort and peace, even in the most difficult of times, to know that.
Yeah, so as you can see, it was a really, really powerful week, and there's about a million different stories. So I encourage you guys to approach anyone on the team and just ask them to share a story, you know, personally, because we just don't have enough time to share everything that we experienced there. But I'll just briefly share that, you know, the skit that we did for you this morning with Noah's Ark, we also did on the second day, which is such a powerful story and a reminder to those kids there, but also to us as well, that, you know, living a sinful life, or a life that is destructive, you know, it's so dangerous. And the way that we find real safety is in the place where God wants us to be, right? Right in his home, right in his ark, if you will. So it was a really powerful story. But I just wanted to share maybe a couple other things, from the week that were really, really impactful to me. And probably one of the biggest things was how I saw us as a team. It was really, really cool. And, you know, going as a pastor, someone who's in full-time ministry, you know, one of the biggest joys I have is when I see the church being the church. And what I mean by that is that so many people stepped up left and right. There was no, you didn't hear, well, I can't do that. Me pray out loud? No, not me. It was like we were stepping over each other, like, oh, I'll pray this morning for the meal. And it was so amazing and powerful because, again, you know, God works through his body, not just through, you know, his hands or his mouth, you know, or whatever you want to call pastors, right? And so we saw some awesome things. We saw Charlotte, you know, and I hope this doesn't embarrass her, but I'm going to embarrass her anyway. She was really, really, like, just stepping out and doing some thinking outside the box. And I think these were God-given things. One of the things that she had done is she had a collection of those Beanie Babies. You guys, are those still still a thing. Is that still a thing, community babies? I guess it is. Anyhow, so those things are like valuable, right? Like people like make their lives out of like teeny babies or beanie babies, right? But there's she kind of realized that like, you know, that this was an opportunity to give a gift to these Haitian kids who, you know, we're just coming off of Christmas, and most of those kids, they don't know what American Christmas is like. They're not getting gifts and everything. And so you should have seen the look on their faces when they received a Beanie Baby, which I'm pretty sure we have a bunch of discarded Beanie Babies. But for them, that was a significant thing, a very, very powerful thing. And again, that came from Charlotte. You know, she's not in full-time ministry. She just listened to God's voice, and then a beautiful thing came about. And so that's a challenge for all of us, too, because you guys were all on the trip with us. Right? You may not have been there physically, but there's different ways that you can get involved, and there's different ways that you can serve. So I encourage you to do that. One of the other really, really powerful things for me, and I wasn't planning to share it, but I think God really laid it on my heart this morning, actually, as service was going on. And so I'll share it. You know, I had talked a little bit about the fact that the first night that we were there, we were involved in the service. We got to be a part of the Haitian service. And what was beautiful about it was, seeing the kids. There was a group of teens that they were taking turns, playing a guitar, right? So I saw them, like, one would do it for a little bit and then pass it to another one and another one. And then, you know, they were doing the same thing with the drums. And as I thought, all right, that's cool. The kids are involved here. Yeah, you know, maybe our youth will be involved too. But the thing that really jumped out at me was, I think it was like Tuesday of that week. We had a little bit of downtime, and I went into where the church was going on, and I saw the guitar there, and I was like, oh, awesome. I'll just play, you know, I'll do a little bit of worship or whatever. And I took the guitar out, and it was completely out of tune. And we're talking about like, I mean, it was terrible. But what was awesome to me is that it did not matter to them. They wanted to worship God so badly that it didn't matter what it sounded like. And that was such a beautiful thing for me. And it challenged me. I was like, God, I want to love you like that. I want to worship you like that. So, you know, if you're on the fence about going to Haiti, go, because God will do things that you don't expect. And it's a pretty, pretty awesome thing. So, yeah.
Good morning, I'm Sharon. I want to read a little something called Making a Difference. A little boy walked carefully along a crowded beach where starfish by the hundreds lay there within his reach. They washed up with each wave far as the eye could see, and each one would surely die if they were not set free. So one by one he rescued them, then heard a stranger call, "It won't make a difference. You cannot save them all." But as he tossed another back toward the ocean's setting sun, he said with deep compassion, "I made a difference to that one, one life at a time." I just want to thank all of you from St. Paul's for making a difference, for allowing us to represent this church and spread our love, and more importantly, the love of Jesus. We were able to witness to 86 girls and 75 boys. And if you haven't had a chance to look at the hearts that are hanging along the sides, those are the hearts that touched us this week, each child colored one when they came to Bible school. One of the most touching moments for me this year came on Tuesday afternoon. On Monday after Bible camp, our Sunday school kids had made these salvation bracelets. I hope you guys remember, kids. But anyway, we passed them out. So on Tuesday, as Lydia said, the kids arrive sometimes 12 o'clock, 12:30 for a 3 o'clock Bible club. But I walked over to one little girl, and she was wearing her bracelet, so I pointed to it and smiled. And she said to me in English, "Jesus loves me." And sometimes we just need a little reminder. So I want all you kids to know that you made a difference to that child. They know that Jesus loves them. So I thank you. Her picture. This is her right here, and I'll never forget her. So she knows that Jesus loves her now. And now I'm going to change my hat and be Carol, and talk a little bit about the village And it is a very humbling experience. Life for the Haitian people, as everyone has told you, is very difficult. But they have the love of Jesus, and they're happy. But because of the UMW and the knitting and crocheting group, we were able to put together 25 hygiene packs with soap and deodorant and toothbrushes and toothpaste, and we distributed 25 of those, which will make a difference. So thank you for making a difference.
Hey there, I'm Charlotte Griggs, and I wanted to start off by telling you that I didn't get the call to go to Haiti. My husband did, and he got the call last year, and somehow we, you know, let that fizzle out, and he got the call again this year, and so no excuses, I will follow my husband. And then I got all these worries, you know, what if, you know, I'm a mosquito magnet, what if I get one of those strange diseases, or you know, I'm claustrophobic, and we have to sleep underneath a mosquito net, and all these other fears. And I remembered that when you worry about things, you've taken God out of the center of your life, and you've replaced it with worry. And so I turned all those fears over to God, and not a single one of them happened to me on this trip. I didn't even get one mosquito bite. And except for one little event with Revenge of the Toilet, I was perfectly scot-free on the on this trip. So it was just amazing. So if you have fears and you're worried about whether or not you could survive the Haiti trip, I think that you could be just fine. I want to talk about the feeding program. I was very curious about how they cooked the food for the children, and I went across the field and behind the pump house to look at the setup. And there was a man with a big machete, and he whacks a branch off a tree, and the branch was probably as big as my leg, and he cut this off of the tree and then chopped it up. And they had two stones and a cinder block back there that they put this huge cauldron on, and that's where they made the rice and beans. And then right behind the house, there was a lady, and she was opening the cans of fish. They make a red sauce with the fish in it to put on each dish of rice and beans. And she was she had a knife, and she put it on the can and then tapped it with a stick, and then she wiggled it. And she went around and did that again over and over and opened every one of those cans of fish by hand. And they cooked that in a separate big black pot. So all the children are sitting on the benches waiting to be fed at the end of the day. They've washed their little hands, and we go up there and we get the food. And we carry as many as we think we can safely carry back to the children. And it's a heaping plate of rice and beans with one of those little fish on top. It's about this big and about that wide. I don't know what kind of fish. Anyway, so we're walking down through there, across down this little path, and I thought, I'm a missionary. And it just was overwhelming. I'm a missionary. And, you know, Jesus is here, and he's walking with us. And you were there, St. Paul's. You were walking there, too. And even though I was the one going down the path, we were all there feeding these hungry little children. And I remembered something that Craig had said our first day in Haiti. He said, this is where Jesus spent his time, with the poor, the hungry, and the sick. And it really was so impactful. So if ever you're having a bad day and you need to feel better about yourself, or just remember, you fed hungry children in Haiti, and they appreciated it. Thank you, St. Paul's.
Good morning, all. It's funny how God works. About 10 years ago, a group of men from our church went to a Promise Keepers event, and Vern LaSala, Nelson, and I, we met a group at a table called the Pocket Testament League. Apparently, it's an organization that started 125 years ago in 1893. A girl sewed a pocket in her dress and kept a scripture in it, and then would pray to the Lord that the Lord would give her someone that day to share it with. So after talking to the Pocket Testament League, and Vern and I get their devotion emailed to us each day, I contacted them to find out if they had any Gospels of John, because that's one of the things they do, is they give these out throughout the world. And I said, do you happen to have that in Creole? And they said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. They have it in 15 or 16 different languages. So I said, okay, I'll order 100 of these and bring them down to Haiti. And they asked me, what are you going to do with them? I said, well, we're going to be having a vacation Bible school with the kids, and we want to give them out to the kids in Haiti. They said, well, could you use a few extra? I said, sure, give whatever you want to give us, we'll bring down. Last year they gave me 900 extra copies of this booklet. So we shared this with the children that morning, with the girls and then with the boys. And we hope that some of them will be able to learn about Jesus through this Gospel of John booklet. And I actually have a few in the Narthex. If any of you feel you want to continue this tradition that Helen Cadbury started 125 years ago, there's a few copies. If you don't know Creole, there's a few in English in the Narthex. And feel free to take one and share it with someone that God puts in your path that needs to hear about the gospel message.
Hi. So one of my favorite parts of the trip is giving out new sneakers to all the kids. I just think it's really... I just want to make sure it works. All right. I just think it's really cool to see all these bright colored sneakers in such a dusty, dirty place. Like, these sneakers are brand spanking new, and these kids are just so excited to have them. Because if you look at their feet, most of them are wearing shoes that they've been wearing for over a year, and they walk everywhere. So most of them are all worn out. But what made this year even more special is that all these shoes were from you guys. Normally we get them from a different church up in North Jersey, and then this year we collected them, like the St. Paul's family. So that was just really special that each and every one of you got to give a pair of shoes, and then that we got to give them to those children. That just made it more meaningful, and like all of you were there with us. So I just really appreciate it and wanted to say thank you for letting me be able to give those shoes to that child on your behalf.
Hi, everyone. Since I'm not a church member of St. Paul's, I wanted to start off by quickly introducing myself. My name is Nicole, and I'm one of the board members of Step of Faith Ministries and had the pleasure to join the St. Paul's mission team to Haiti. I first went to Haiti back in 2010. Before going, I pictured the mission trip to be more of a one-time experience. When I first stepped foot into Haiti, I wanted to take the next flight out and did not think I would be able to survive the week. However, something changed during that week, and it was no longer an experience, and my love for the Haitians and the country greatly surpassed the poverty that I was immersed in for that week. This past trip marked my sixth time going to Haiti. Looking back from the last 7 years, I am amazed at all the progress that I see in the community that we serve, both spiritually and physically. When I first stepped on the Aslan property in 2010, we did a VBS on an empty land. Fast forward to this year, and the church is being built. We have a functioning medical clinic. Bathrooms are being in the process of being built. We have clean water, a community garden, along with many other additions that will be coming in the future. I'm also amazed at the Christian leadership and seeing a lot of the children growing up to be godly individuals. This past trip, I was really excited to see the transition start for the Grains of Grace feeding program. To give some background, this feeding program is currently providing rice and beans to about 70 families in Lacajou. Due to the poverty in the community, this feeding program has been a huge blessing to the community. Over the past year, Step of Faith and Aslan Youth Ministries has been discussing how we can transition this feeding program to be a more sustainable and empowering program through the distribution of goats. The idea is to give a family a goat, and then once that goat has a baby, that baby goat will then be passed along to another family. During our mission trip, we were able to start this transition process by purchasing 9 goats. Our team was very excited to be a part of this transition process, as these goats will provide both a food source and an income to the families in Lacajou. I wanted to end by saying thank you, everyone, for all your support, and I want to encourage you that all your support, donations, prayers, and missionaries are truly making a difference in the community of Lacajou.
Good morning. My name is Pam Hess. I'm the missions coordinator with Step of Faith Ministries, and it was really a pleasure and an honor to join the St. Paul's team this year, to go down with them as a team member, and to continue to see all that the Lord is doing in the area of Lacajou. And as Nicole said so wonderfully, there's just been so many changes over the last 10 years since I had gone down with Bob Hager. when he was doing trips to Haiti years ago and introduced me to this area of Haiti and to Craig with Aslan Youth Ministries. And since then, there's just been such an amazing partnership that has continued, and to see St. Paul step into this 5 years ago and all that they have been able to change down in this small little corner of Haiti is really something worth going down and seeing. So many people have told me over the years, you know, what can you possibly accomplish by going down for just 1 week? And I just smile and say, a lot more than if we don't go down for 1 week. And these teams over the last 5 years is such a testament to that. I mean, they have brought to life what other people from so many different churches, whether providing money, resources to start a water project down there, this team has gone down to actually put it into motion. So there's just so many amazing things happening. And I'm just going to share briefly about a new area down there that we started last summer, and that's teaching English to the youth in the community. In Haiti, school is very expensive. It's about $540 to go to school for 1 year. And since the average Haitian makes less than a dollar a day, families cannot afford to put their children through school. So we're able to help support many children to go to school. And some of those children are exposed to English, but it may be for 1 hour once a week. So they're just getting very little bits of English. However, we found over the years that a Haitian that knows English has such an amazing ability to have a job and to be self-sustaining, something that's very difficult to do down there. So last summer, our team started an English class, and we carried it out again this past trip. We had 30 students attend, 4 in the morning and 26 in the afternoon. And we were going through an ESL book that a friend of ours up here who teaches English as a second language helped us to come up with the curriculum. And we were able to do 11 teachings in 5 sessions. And these children were so hungry to learn English, and they were so excited, and they were like sponges, just how they were able to say back and understand what was being taught. And one of my personal highlights was just after the second day, it was in the morning, there was only 4 students. That was the picture up on the left. And we were just finishing the class, and I was just encouraging them that the way they're going to build their confidence is by starting to speak the language. Going down for 11 years, I know this much Creole, and I know I need to learn more. And there's not a lot of people up here that speak Creole, so it's hard to retain it. But they're going to have 30 of them that can interact with one another. But I just said simply, you need to speak it out loud. And at that point, Sharon had walked by, and she just kind of walked over to see what was going on. And one of the girls, her name is Lovely, she just turned around and she said to Sharon, "Hello, what is your name?" And I remember Sharon almost fell over. She like screamed. She goes, "I'm Sharon, I'm Sharon, you know, what's your name?" And that just started something the whole week that I encouraged them that before they left the land, they needed to go up and speak to at least 2 missionaries. And they were tracking them down if they were in the truck already, wherever they were tracking them down and just having these little conversations. And it was very exciting to see that they were taking it as seriously as they were. And we're going to continue with each team that goes down throughout the year. They're going to continue to teach English. And we're really hopeful that one day, Aslan's future is to provide a school on the property. And who knows, maybe some of these young youth will be the future teachers down there. So thank you for, again, all that you're doing, St. Paul's. You guys rock. I mean, you guys are just amazing. With other things that go on through the year, we can go back and look at, well, because St. Paul's went down and did X, Y, and Z, and they invested in this way, other things are building down there. So as other team members have encouraged you, even with Charlotte sharing, even if you might have reservations of, oh, I really don't know if I can do this, you know, think of Nicole. I was on that trip, and Nicole was her first trip down there, and her and another girl actually wanted to get on a plane and leave. And we were really figuring out how we were going to settle them down. And within 36 hours, they were fine. And at the end of the week, they were crying as they were walking to the border because they didn't want to leave. God will certainly touch your heart in Haiti. He is there. He is active. He loves the people so much. And just thank you for all of the things that you're doing to help that community grow and fall in love more and more with Jesus.
here, folks. We're going to end it up real quick here. We apologize. But I'd also like to once again thank everybody here at St. Paul's. You don't know how what an intricate part of this mission you were. I see us all as being missionaries, everyone in the pews here. You supported us with prayer. You supported with treasure. Some of us were able to travel and be boots on the ground in Haiti. As we serve the community of Lac Jo, I was constantly reminded of the St. Paul's missionaries back here in Brick. The UMC, the United Methodist Women, the Sunday school kids. I want to speak to you kids again. You remember last summer when you did your mission walk? You did a little donation and you walked and put your money in the little jars. We bought the food. When you saw these children eating those big plates of rice, that was your part of the mission, kids. You did that. You fed those children for 4 days. What a miracle. The knitting crocheting group with their prayer squares, their prayer crosses that we gave out in the neighborhoods with a little prayer translated into Haitian. You missionaries right here in St. Paul's were part of that. Step of Faith ministry, the music ministry. We've got exciting news on the music ministry coming up. We'll share at a later time, but these kids are taking music lessons down there and learning to play that guitar that's out of tune that Hector was talking about, and some percussion instruments. But I just want you all to remember that you were part of this. And the most important thing is that everything we did was important down there. But the most important thing was that we were sharing your love and the love of Jesus with the people of Lac Jo. Thank you.
Amen. I want to thank all of you for sharing.
Thank you, St. Paul! Thank you, St. Paul!
Okay, that's a punchline. You can stay there.